What's up, 5 o'clock? If we haven't met, my name is Brad. And I'm fired up to be at this gathering, to be in the house, and I'm ready to open God's word. Who's ready to hear what God has to say for us? Come on, this isn't just a gathering because we have to be here. This isn't just going through the motions, but it's all of us coming together to lift our song and to lift our voice in the praise of the only one who is worth giving it to. And it's also we get the chance to open the living, the breathing, the active word of God, the creator of the universe, revealing himself and his purposes to us through this book. And let's not tread lightly this afternoon, okay? I've been in church basically my whole life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of times I'll roll into gatherings, into moments under the teaching of God's word, and I'm like, oh, been there, done that. But come on, the author, the creator, the perfecter, he wants us to know him. He wants us to follow him. He wants what's best for us. And so let's lean in. You with me? You with me? That feels good. It is great to be here on a Memorial weekend and join the ranks of all of us who aren't at the beach or the lake. And we're the committed few, right? We're the ones that really love Jesus. So I hope that everybody else is having fun at the lake. Hey, we are in a series called Open House. And I am loving this series. It's been really, really special. It's rooted in Matthew 5:15. It took me forever to just flip there right now, but I got it. Matthew 5:15. I was in Matthew 15, so it got even worse. I'm getting there. This passage is in the fabric of our house, really special to us at Passion City. It's where the 515, it's not just our address on the building, but it's rooted in this verse. And it's Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, can you say that with me? In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We started last 2 weeks ago talking about what's it look to have an open house mentality. Then our pastor shared last week about cultivating a lifestyle of hospitality. And then we're gonna take the next step tonight and talk about not just here's my stuff, which was last week, but also adding to that, here's my voice. Sharing our stories with the world around us so they would put their faith and hope in Jesus. And Eugene Peterson says that, has this verse in a really special way. Let me read it off my phone. Says in Matthew 5, 14, the Message version. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. And then here it is, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. And that's what we want to be at Passion City Church, people that keep open house. And the result of that would be more and more people opening up to God, opening up to Jesus. And the way that we can do that, like I mentioned, was here's my stuff. But it's essential that we also say, here's my voice. And before you write me off, we're talking about sharing our faith, sharing Jesus with the people around us. I know it's a crazy idea for some, foreign. You're like, no way would God ever want to use me to tell other people about Jesus. I would mess the whole story up. It wouldn't make sense. I would blabber. I would just throw up the words and it wouldn't help bring any clarity to people. No, don't write it off yet, because I want you to see and I want us all to be reminded that we're all called in God's desire and plan to be the voice in this world so people can hear about Jesus. Every single one of us, he wants us to use our voice. But I'm just going to do a little quick raising of the hand moment, and I'll join you. But who thinks it's pretty intimidating to talk about your faith in Jesus with other people who don't follow him? Anybody? I'm raising my hand. So, okay, we're on the same page. It can be intimidating. I remember my very first mission trip overseas. We were going to Costa Rica. Wasn't it one of those like fake mission trips where you spend like 8 days on the beach and then one day, you know, telling people about Jesus so you can justify raising the support for a vacation? No, we were going to San Jose, Costa Rica, the first time out of the, I think it was the first time out of the country and for me, and I was fired up, ready to tell people about Jesus. And, you know, I thought everybody would want to talk to us when we got there. You know, we were the, you know, oddballs and we were the Americans. People noticed us and I was super extroverted at the time. I've become a lot more introverted, maybe not really, but I was just ready to go. I mean, we had prayed, we had prepared, we had, you know, planned. We were sharing our faith with the people of Costa Rica and everywhere we went, soccer, football games, which we would call soccer, to the restaurants, basketball courts, parks. We were like telling people about Jesus. It was awesome. A few of the struggles, though, was obviously the language. There was 25 of us, and we only had 5 translators, which was extremely frustrating because I was on fire, ready to talk to everybody, and I always had to go looking around or waiting for a translator to free up so they could come help me. Well, then I started just going on my own. I'm like, forget the translator. I've got this. I'm doing this my own way. So I had the conversation starters. My Spanish is not that great, but ¿cómo te llamas? It would, you know, I'd start there. And then they would tell me their name, and I would say, me llamo Brad. You know, ¿cómo está? You know, ¿cómo está? Something like that. And how you doing? And then I would, this might not be appropriate, but I would also, it was the only questions I knew, be like, ¿cuántos años tienes? How old are you? I don't know what that had to do with our conversation at the moment, but it's just one of the only questions I knew. And then my fourth question, I didn't even really know the proper way to say it. I just knew the word for work was trabajar. And then you had to, you know, obviously change that depending on how you were saying it. But I would just go, trabajar, you know? Trabajar? And like thinking if I, change my voice a little bit, they would know that I was trying to ask a question. And then they would respond. And I'd have no idea what they would say, but they would tell me what their work was. And I got to this one moment in a conversation at a park, and I had gone through my questions, just trying to talk to this guy, and I really wanted to invite him to church because we were going to be hosting a gathering just a few days later. It was Sunday, and we were starting to tell people about a gathering that we were hosting on Wednesday. And it's like no translator, but I'm like, I'm not missing my shot to invite this guy. You know, this is why God sent me here. The problem is I forgot the name of the church, so I just tried to point, you know, in the general direction, and it was just a few blocks away, and then he said the name of it, and I was like, yes, see, yes. And then I forgot the word for Wednesday, and it was Sunday, and I was like, God, give me the words. I was like, no mañana, no mañana mañana, but mañana mañana mañana. He said, miércoles, sí, you know, that is it. And that was the beginnings of me taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I wish I could say that guy showed up and put his faith in Jesus, and I might meet him in heaven. He'd be like, man, thank you so much for your half-hearted attempt to speak Spanish so you could invite me to church. But sharing our faith, talking about Jesus, God's call on our life, it can be intimidating. But here's what we want you to know, is that God is equipping us and calling all of us to be translators, taking what seems foreign, right? What people don't understand, what people don't know, the message of Jesus. And through our lives, yes, our hospitality, yes, but also our words, we get to translate the message of Jesus into this lost and broken and hurting world. And it's a big world. And so God's looking for a lot of translators so more and more people can know his son Jesus. And that's what that scripture said. It's time in Matthew chapter 5. we're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. So we cannot, church, buy into the, I'm gonna keep my faith to myself. We can't, you know, just say, I'm not gonna project or impose my faith and my beliefs on other people. Or we can't even be afraid to offend people. We need to do it in a tactful and normal way. But if we truly believe, right, what we sing about, what we're here for, what the scriptures speak to, if we truly believe who Jesus is, and if we truly have put our trust in him to save us, not just, you know, in this life, but forever to come, why would we not want to tell people about it? Why would we not want to live with an open house mentality? So we need to get over the fear. We need to get over the shyness. We need to have courage to speak up about who Jesus is. And it's natural. It's natural, right? We talk about the things that we love. You know, you get into a dating relationship and you've been talking, you know, but there's a time when you need to go public with it. And so you and your girl, y'all talk about exactly when the Instagram post needs to go out. And we're gonna make a coordinated effort to announce to everybody that we are in love with each other. Or in high school, you should be saying that we like each other, because you're gonna say you love somebody to a girl and you're gonna regret it a long time later. That's for free. That's just a little rant. But you go public with that. Not in my notes. Not gonna be mentioned at the 7:30 gathering either. No, you go public with it. You find your jam, you find your bae, you realize what's the best thing on the planet. You wanna tell people about it. You discover the band. You get tickets to Justin Bieber. You're all over Snapchat that night. I mean, you want to talk about the things you love. You're going to the game. Down, you know, in the plains, you're gonna put that Auburn flag in your window on the way down there and announce to the world, you're an Auburn Tiger. I could have used Georgia Tech, but it's just not really relevant. I mean, on the football side of things. I'm kidding. Come back to church next week, all right? We love you, and we're praying for your football team. We want to talk about the things that we love. And that's what scripture is speaking to us. That's Jesus's hope for us. I want to show you that in a few places. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. God is sending us to tell the world, to carry the gospel, to share our faith. Now, a few more places, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Love this passage. I love them all, I guess. I love all the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. You see how our belief and our words are connected together? If we believe in Jesus, it says, therefore we will want to tell the world about him. It's time to go public. Matthew 28, you probably know this verse, but it's the Great Commission. It's the last charge of Jesus to his disciples, to his people. In verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, in response to the fact that Jesus holds all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, this is beautiful. This gives us hope as we go and tell the world about Jesus. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We love that verse. God's gonna be with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, God promises that he's gonna be with us, and that is true. And that should give you a lot of hope, no matter if it's the high time or the low time, the good time or the bad time. God has promised to be with you. But notice, he said it after he gave his people a mission. And his presence was intended to be connected to the mission. As you go, as you tell, just know I'm gonna be with you because I'm giving you the greatest news that's ever been told or heard. And so I'm gonna equip and empower you so you will be able to go and tell, to use your voice to help more people know. And if you wanna keep going, I mean, just think about the fact that the gospel is an announcing message. It's a public message. I'm so grateful that God sent angels to tell the shepherds that Jesus was born. Or how else would the shepherds have known where to go or that who was on the scene? But it was announced. And that's what God's calling us to do with our faith. Announce it to the world. So you're probably asking, yeah, Brad, that sounds great, but I don't know if I know what to say. What should I say? How would I tell people? How will I know what to talk about? And I get that. A couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we were just chilling on a Saturday, didn't have any plans. We got a text and it's like, hey, you guys wanna come watch the fight with us tonight? And it's some new friends of ours and we're like, yeah, let's go watch the fight. Problem is, I don't know what the fight is. I don't know who's fighting. I literally Googled, like, hey, what is the fight tonight? And I'm like, are we talking boxing, MMA, UFC? I don't know. Turns out there was a big UFC fight a couple weeks ago. Did y'all know that? I didn't. And are we getting any UFC fans in the house? Okay, a few of us. All right. Well, it was a big deal. And I said I am, but I wasn't at the time. I'm Googling. And I didn't prepare enough. And so I go up to these friends' house and for like 3 hours, I had to pretend that I knew everything about there was to know about UFC. And I made the biggest idiot of myself. I mean, the biggest idiot. And I didn't know the strategy. I didn't know the names. I didn't know the flow. I didn't know how many fights we're getting to. I was like, if only I would have prepared. And why wouldn't we prepare? Why wouldn't we be ready to share when we get the opportunities to talk to our friends about Jesus? That's what 1 Peter 3:15 says. In your hearts, set apart Christ Jesus as Lord. We're there. In our hearts, we're gonna set Christ Jesus apart as Lord. And then always be prepared to share or give the reason for the hope that you have in Jesus. Always be prepared. We need to be ready. So today, in this message, I was gonna help us get ready, if that's okay with you guys. Y'all like some tangible anchors to help share your faith with people? Know how to prepare a little bit? Well, this is a collection of several books that are really important. So if you'll take out your notes, if you want to be prepared to share your faith in Jesus, we would suggest that you would read all of these. Guys, I'm trying to preach here, encourage you. We would suggest that you would start with a general introduction of the Bible. And it's not too bad. There are 622 pages. And so you'll want to get this and read it. But it builds into this beautiful, amazing book that I'm sure a lot of you have read, just a basic Christian theology. If you want to be equipped and prepared so you don't look like an idiot when you get invited to the UFC fight, then make sure you read this. And then you'll always want to have access to a couple commentaries. This was the ancient Christian commentary. You'll want that one. The City of God by St. Augustine. I mean, this is just going to be so helpful for you. And everybody needs to have honestly memorized it. If you love Jesus and you want to win the world for Christ, then memorize this book, okay? Y'all with me? all these are great, so I don't want to forgive me, St. Augustine and Tim Keller, your books are amazing, but and I would encourage you to read them, but sometimes it's just a little bit more simple than that. And if you want to share your faith in Jesus, here's a few ways to think about it. I mean, Chick-fil-A. I mean, you know, who doesn't love Chick-fil-A? It really comes down to what we figured out is better than everything else. Can we get an amen on that? I hope they're listening and this comes with free coupons for a free number one, but I'm doing my part on the advertising. Here's the thing about Chick-fil-A, and this is really important. There are some great things on the menu, and you all, everybody, I mean, their salads are good, their grilled nuggets are good, thank you Ford Fry, the new kale salad is good as a side, but when you go to Chick-fil-A, unless you're trying to be annoying by being on a diet, then you really only want, you know, there's only one thing you want, right? I mean, it's the classic chicken sandwich. Can I get an amen? I mean, you think about this thing, there is really nothing better. And I don't care that this is a day old and has a bite taken out of it. Thank you, Aaron Coe, for preaching earlier this morning. I think we had a few backup sandwiches. Hey, I ain't scared. Hey, we're boys. You're my guy. I mean, not even fresh, but you got the, you know, the pickle, the toasted bun. It's just as good as it gets, right? Anybody want a bite? You want another bite? Guys, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Have a bite. You do want a bite? Yeah, here you go. Mm. Yeah, thanks. There you go. Man, biggest round of applause you've ever got just for eating a bite of a sandwich. It's like, he can chew, praise the Lord, you know? Man, so, you know, there's the chicken sandwich, but if that's not, you know, you're gonna do it for you, then you got the chicken nuggets, and who doesn't love an 8-pack? I mean, you can't love an 8-pack and be an American. And then if you're just needing it at a different time of the day, the chicken biscuit was an amazing invention. I remember the days when Chick-fil-A started serving breakfast, and it was an answer to prayer. But all joking aside, I'm going to use this to try to help us figure out how to share our faith a little bit easier. This is going to be an interesting stretch, but rooted in the fact that we have found what is better than everything else. And there are a few ways, simple ways, that you can share your faith. Bryson mentioned one of them in the hosting, but the message, maybe the message of the chicken sandwich, the first component could just be when it comes to sharing our faith in Jesus, it's done, not do, all right? All the other religions on the world are about doing, earning, working, making our way to heaven. What stands apart in Christianity about following Jesus is that he has finished the work for us. He has done what we could not do for ourselves. So we could never earn it. We could never be good enough. We could never close the gap between us and God on our own. And so Jesus came to do what we could not do for ourselves. That's a great way to share your faith with people. Just say, hey, what stands apart about Christianity is it's a done faith, not a do faith. A couple scriptures for you on that are Romans 5:6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's not Romans 5:6, but it's okay. It was impressive quoting a scripture. Romans 5:6, so that at the right time while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Mention that to people. It's done, not do. Have a chicken sandwich. Or maybe they don't want the chicken sandwich. They might like nuggets. You need to give them another opportunity. Another way to talk about your faith in Jesus is just by reminding people it's a matter of life and death. This is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Ephesians 2:1-4, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful natures, following its desires of the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Though it's a matter of life and death, people think it's all about being good enough. And you could share with them, hey, sin doesn't make you bad. We talk about this a lot. Sin makes you dead. Jesus didn't come to turn bad people into good people. He came to turn dead people into alive people. The stakes are high. So when you want to articulate your faith, you could just tell people, hey, it's a matter of life or death. And you're going to want to make sure you're standing on the right side of eternity. Or here's another one, and this is more simple. It would just be, this is my story. I love that this is in the culture of our church, but we say a lot, if you have a story of grace, then you have a story of grace to tell. And if you want to take advantage of opportunities you are given to talk to people about Jesus, just tell them your story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them about that time that you came to realize that Jesus was better than everything else, that Chick-fil-A served chicken biscuits. And you just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Hopefully, ideally, that will match with the way that you're living. Because it is gonna be hard to share your faith if your actions don't match up with what you believe. But you just, you know, and even better, they would be like, man, what? I knew you before you met Jesus, and there is something totally different about you now. What made the difference? And you just get the chance to say, Jesus, it's done, not due. Or it's a matter of life and death. Or just let me tell you about my story. There's a world that's hurting, searching, looking, empty, depressed. And they are longing to hear stories of hope about how people have found purpose, meaning, and peace. And our message is Jesus. And that's what I love about Chick-fil-A. And in those three messages, the same thing applies to Chick-fil-A. At the end of the day, it's all chicken, right? It's all fried chicken. You don't really want the grilled chicken unless you want to feel less guilty about eating it. You want the fried chicken. And that's the case with those three ways of sharing your faith. It's all the message is Jesus. The message is not where you go to church. And we love our church. The message is not, what favorite worship song you love listening to. The message is not, all the list of all the great things you've done in the program you're on. The message that we have to share with the world is Jesus. And whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. We are Plan A, church. And Jesus is calling us and then commissioning us. He's saving us. He saves us, then he sends us. He changes us, then he charges us to go and share his message of hope with the world around us. And we just need to tell people, it's kind of like Pastor Louis' I Love Barbecue from a couple years back. It's just telling people how amazing Chick-fil-A is. Let's just take it another level. I think there might be a napkin in here. Has everybody got a napkin on your chair? Aaron Coe and I, Aaron preached an amazing message this morning and we got the chance to work on this together, but sitting at lunch at Fox Brothers doesn't everybody love a good Fox Brothers meal? If you don't know it, you're missing out, but earlier in the week, we got the chance to sit down and talk about the message with our Pastor Louis and, we were talking about three, unique ways to share your faith, but then we thought, man, this isn't just a cool illustration, but how awesome would it be if an opportunity presents itself and you got to go in a little bit more depth about Jesus, about the scripture, about your faith. And, people look at the Bible, start reading it for the first time, and it just, It's long. It covers several, thousands of years. It's so many different characters and storylines. You're like, man, how can I explain all of this to somebody or even know it for myself? And a simple way would be just this little diagram. If you start with a circle that says God's design, that's Genesis 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the whole first chapter and second chapter is us knowing what God created in him, saying it was good. There was harmony. There was order. Then he created man and woman in his image, and it was very good in God's economy, in God's mind, just the way he wanted it. Well, then sin entered this story through Adam and Eve falling to the temptation of the serpent, and the wages of sin is death. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and sin leads to death and brokenness. And you don't have to go into detail about that, because all you have to do is tell people to look around. We're all in tune with the brokenness of this world. And it doesn't mean we look over it, but we're not surprised by it, because God said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And so much of the scripture is the downward spiral of humanity as a result of the sin, of the turning our backs on God and what he had for us. And so now there's a separation between God and man. God's desire to live among his people is now broken because of the sin that entered the world. And so that's where the gospel comes in. Jesus shows up. It's God's solution to our problem. It's God entering into the story through Jesus to restore, to rescue his people. And we get in it by just repenting and believing, right? That was the message of Jesus. Repent, turn, and believe in me. It's not do, it's done if you will believe what I have accomplished for you on the cross. And that becomes full circle, and we get back to God's design. That's where we're heading. That's what Jesus has enabled for us and has given us access to. That's what heaven will be, back to the garden, when things will be even better when they were when Adam and Eve were just by themselves. So it's God's design, brokenness, gospel, back to heaven, into God's design. That's just a simple way. How cool would it be if you got the chance to articulate that and just tell somebody about the scripture through that simple diagram? Of course, as soon as we feeling confident, feel like we got the diagram memorized, we're ready to go, then that's when the hurdles or the excuses start creeping up, right? I mean, we've all got a list of 4 or 5 excuses of why we wouldn't share our faith. Just to give you a few of them. I think the top one is, what if I don't have the answers to all their questions? Anybody ever wondered that? Anybody ever not taken an opportunity to talk about Jesus because you were afraid what their comeback would be? You'd be afraid what they ask you? You get the diagram down, you're like, ready to go. We're like, well, what if they ask me about, doxology of Romans 11 and how that fits into what Jesus, God was talking about in Psalms and how that relates to Isaiah? And like, I don't know. So maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. What if we don't know the answers to their questions? One, that's okay. Don't let that stop you from sharing about Jesus. It's more embarrassing when you're a pastor and you don't know the answers to people's questions. Case in point, what happened to me on Friday. We had a friend over at the house that's helping us with a project, and Brittany wasn't there yet, and so we were waiting on her. And she's like, before she gets here, let me ask you a question about the Bible. And I was like, uh-oh, I hope I know this. This will be really embarrassing. And he starts asking about, Jacob and Esau and how we can learn from that. And I did my best, but I was probably stuttering the whole way through. I'm like, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be able to help you with every single question you have about the scripture. No, we're all on a journey of learning more about God and his purposes. And so don't let that stop you. And if you don't know the answer, you can just say, hey, I don't know. It's crazy, isn't it? But that will even give you more motivation to figure that out and to study it. But you could also just say, well, tell me about your faith. Tell me about the path you figured out to relate to God, have a relationship with him. And you could, if you don't know the answer, doesn't mean you just need to never talk to them again. You just keep the conversation going, build a relationship, and over time, you never know what God will do. What if I never get the opportunity? Anybody in that zone? I think we'd be surprised if we got prepared and we started caring about sharing for our faith. We started praying for opportunities. We started looking and seeing people that don't know Jesus and go, God, give me the chance to share you with them. We would be amazed at the doors that would open up. But I also think what could be really helpful, church, is if we were intentional around the conversations that we have with people. Do you ever leave a hang with somebody and it never got below the surface of how's the weather? What'd you think about the Thunder game last night? And what are you guys gonna do over the weekend? And you realize life is so much tougher than that and people are longing for deeper relationships. And why didn't you just step up and say, hey, let's take this a little bit deeper and ask how life is going. How are you and your spouse doing? Are you finding purpose in your work right now? And you shift the conversation, you turn the corner, you would be amazed. I would be amazed at the amazing conversations that we could have and the opportunities that we would get to speak hope and life in Jesus with people. Other excuse would be, what if people think I'm crazy? Anybody had that one? I'm not gonna share Jesus with people because they just might think I'm weird. They probably will. I'm just gonna let that, you know, be out there. People will be like, oh man, that guy, what's up with him? But the stakes are high, are they not? And so are we gonna not share the gospel because we're afraid to be weird? Are we gonna not tell people about Jesus because we're too concerned about what they'll think about us? Are we gonna let their eternity hang in the balance because we're afraid to be outcasted or seen differently? Or what if they say no? What if I get rejected? You know, Paul said, I've become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. So Paul gave it all he had, realizing that only some would say yes to Jesus. But that didn't stop him from becoming all things to all men. So you might get rejected. They might not take you up for the invitation. They might not be interested in Jesus. They might not want to roll the 515 with you. But you at least erred on the side of going for it, of giving it a shot, of speaking Jesus with people. And you never know, I never know, the seeds that get planted in those moments. Because we're called, you know, to sow, but God gives the growth and brings the harvest. We plant the seeds, but God's the one that brings it to life. You know, one of my close friends, a guy named Nabil Qureshi, he comes to Passion City when he's stateside, but right now he's studying in Oxford, getting his doctorate. He's one of the smartest guys I know. He's on Ravi Zacharias' preaching team. They travel around the world. By the way, Ravi's gonna be here in a couple weeks preaching at Passion City on Father's Day. You're not gonna wanna miss that. But Nabil is on his speaking team. One of the smartest guys I know who's probably read all of those books and has memorized them. Wrote a book, you know, he's a devout Muslim before he met Jesus. And he would argue with the Christians. And he would debate them out of the room. And there was a guy in college that wasn't afraid to have a conversation with Nabil. That wasn't intimidated by not knowing all the answers or getting shot down or rejected. And there's a guy in college that just started a relationship with Nabil. Started sharing his faith, started having open dialogue, started trying to find common ground. And a few years later, when Nabil was in med school, he met Jesus, realized what he had been following in Islam would never put him in right standing with God or wipe away his guilt and his shame. So he put his trust in Jesus, has become an amazing communicator, evangelist. He travels the world, like I mentioned. He wrote a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, sold over 100,000 copies. Amazing ministry. And I just can't help think about that guy. I don't even know his name. That started sharing Jesus with Nabil when he was in college. And he gave it a shot. He went for it. He used his voice. He planted a seed. And now years later, he gets to be a part of all those stories when Nabil's all over the world telling people about Jesus and the hope that he's found and the fact that Jesus has accomplished what he could never do. That guy from college is in the story. He didn't write a book, but he helped Nabil write a book. He's not traveling the world, but God used him to propel Nabil around the world. And so what if that's us? What if the next Nabil is sitting across from you in your cubicle? The next Nabil is one of your, you know, buddies that you roll to the park with, or you're in that softball league with, or one of the ladies you always run into at the grocery store. It's not up to us. We plant the seeds. And God brings them to life. And I just love the thought. What if we really, really, really live this out? Because it's a good message, a great message in my opinion. Crush it, I'm kidding. Amazing. Whew. Send me your feedback, but it's about as good as it gets. No, I'm kidding. It's a good message, right? Oh yeah, we all need to carry the gospel. We all need to share our faith. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to practice it and to live it out. And what if one of the things that the people mention about when they hear the name Passion City, man, I don't go there. I'm not a Jesus follower, but I know people that do. And I'll tell you one thing that's true about every Passion City person I've ever met is they love talking about Jesus. It's not the name of their church. It's not the names of the people that are on their stage. You can't be around these Passion City people for too long without hearing the name of Jesus, how great he is and what he's done in their life. Because Jesus, he's the name that saves. He's the name that's above every name. So let's get the name of Jesus on our lips and let's start sharing Jesus with the people around us, because we're plan A, church. If we don't say the name of Jesus, people might not hear his name. We're plan A. And so let's go and tell and use our voice so that more people would know Jesus.